Afternoon Theatre. The Lady with a Lamp. We present Nicolette Barnard as Florence Nightingale in a radio adaptation by Peter Watts of the stage play by Reginald Barclay, first produced in London, January 1929. The Lady with a Lamp. It is the year 1848. We are on the terrace of Embley Park, Hampshire, the principal country house of Mr. William Nightingale.
But Mr. Herbert, his style is so exaggerated.
I suppose it is.
So is everything he says. Much is mere rodomontade, but there are some surprisingly profound things in it.
What is the book, Lord Palmerston?
Past and Present.
Indeed.
By the Scots writer, Carlyle.
Indeed. I haven't heard of him.
Oh, Fanny, everyone has. He's making a big reputation as a thinker.
What does he think?
That everyone ought to work.
Oh, that's nonsense, Mr. Herbert. Of course the poor have got to work or they couldn't live.
I care very much about money. I work because I like it.
Well, if working merely means doing what you like, I really don't see why the author of this book is getting such a big reputation as a thinker. How did it come into the house, William?
I think it belongs to Florence.
I might have known that without asking. Poor child is not very practical. May I look at it, Lord Palmerston?
Oh, of course. Here.
Thank you.
There's a great deal of very skillful research in it.
Oh, he's a great man, you know. Quite sound at the bottom. He supported us over the repeal of the Corn Laws, and he's a staunch free trader.
If he supported you in office, my dear Herbert, that naturally excuses everything. Until he has the bad taste to disagree with you.
He's rather severe on you liberals.
Yes, he says what the Tories would like to say if they had the intelligence. But we managed to survive and even attract our opponents. I was a conservative myself once.
Were the claims of office and party a little incompatible?
When you sit in my cabinet, young man, you will remember those words and blush for them.
You intend to be Prime Minister, then?
Oh, I think so. I can't afford to win the Derby, and one ought to do one or the other.
Too modest. Why not both?
One must leave some goal for succeeding generations.
People oughtn't to be allowed to publish books like this. It's downright subversive. Why doesn't the government prevent it, Lord Palmerston?
You can't interfere with the free expression of opinion.
But I must say, in defense of our conservative policy, that agitators really must be dealt with. Agitators should not... Oh, Elizabeth, my love.
Are you talking about agitators? We met the sweetest agitators when we were in Rome, didn't we, Sydney? So brave and unselfish. All they thought about was the cause.
What was the cause, Mrs. Herbert?
Oh, they did tell me... But I'm afraid I've forgotten. But they believed in it tremendously. They were simply splendid.
Curious how political revolutionaries are invariably heroes when they happen to be foreigners plotting to overthrow a foreign government, and equally invariably scoundrels and traitors if they happen to be Englishmen trying to bring pressure on our own.
Because our government is a good government.
Much obliged for the testimonial, ma'am.
But they're rather splendid, aren't they? I mean, the way they believe in it all, what? Oh... You don't think so?
Liz, you're getting into deep water.
There you are, you see. The young people of today simply don't understand. And I'm afraid that Florence has made...
Florence. Florence is different. She is the most...
She's the most wonderful woman Sydney ever met.
Liz.
Oh. Oughtn't I to have said that?
Always accepting yourself, of course, Mrs. Herbert. That's understood.
Oh, no, Mr. Nightingale, I'm not wonderful. I'm only... what is it, Sydney?
You are an imp.
I'm an imp.
But I honestly do think that Miss Nightingale has amazing vision and capacity.
Thank you, Mr. Herbert. That's the very word I wanted, amazing. Now, here's a girl with half the men in London dying to marry her. And what does she want to do? To be a duchess? Oh, no. To be a political hostess? Oh, no. to be an artist, even. And I'm sure she could learn to paint very prettily. Or play the pianoforte, or some other ladylike accomplishment. But, oh, no, 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 that doesn't attract her. She wants to go into Salisbury Hospital as a common hospital nurse. Oh, you're quite right, Mr. Herbert. It is amazing.
Well, but she doesn't want to stay there. It's only for training.
What is the training? To see things no lady ought to see. And to mix with the coarsest, commonest people. You don't know the things that go on in hospitals. The nurses are always intoxicated. And that's only a trifle to what happens sometimes.
Surely not.
That's true enough, I believe. But if someone like Miss Nightingale took up the whole question, might that not be the beginning of better things?
That, my dear, is what I have always said. And you know, she's always felt a call in that direction.
A call? Oh, my dear, what nonsense. Calls are things that come to saints, not vapourish young ladies with ideas.
Well, I call it magnificent. I believe in Miss Nightingale. I think she is going to do something really great. Something no one else...
You are oddly enthusiastic about my daughter, Mr. Herbert.
Annie, here she comes. On the terrace with the young Henry Germain and Mrs. Bracebridge.
That poor boy asked me to help him to get a chance to propose, and I sent them out for a walk. Somehow, Florence has managed to drag in Selina Bracebridge. Well, the end of it will be that girl will never get married at all. Oh. There, look. She's sending him indoors. Oh. There, that's exactly how poor Lord Shackleford looked 2 years ago when she refused him. Oh, dear, oh, dear. Flo, dear.
Yes, Mama, darling.
Did you have a nice walk?
Very nice, Mama, thank you. We went miles.
Yes, I didn't know Selina was going with you.
Nor did she. I made her. Didn't I, Selina?
Shouldn't let her tire you out, Selina, dear.
Oh, but I love it, Mrs. Nightingale.
Yes, I dare say, but you shouldn't all the same. Where did you go, my love?
We went to see my patient.
Oh, I wish you wouldn't use slang, dear. I don't know what you mean.
I mean my patients, Mama, darling. I nurse them.
Oh, dear child, you have such odd fancies. Oh, well, never mind.
Tell me, Miss Florence, I'd like to know, what patients are these?
Well, there's old Marjorie Whitty, the postmaster's mother, asthma.
Eh?
She's more trouble than a whole ward full of ordinary patients. Then there's one of the ploughmen with a nasty flesh wound. He cut himself with a scythe that has to be dressed every day. It's right through to the bone.
Oh, no, dear. You're not in a butcher's shop.
Well, then there's a motherless babe whose father tries to feed it with meat whenever my back's turned. And there's an old woman with rheumatism whose shoulder has to be rubbed. Then there's Dandy. Papa knows about Dandy.
The shepherd's dog. He broke his foreleg in a trap. Ought to have been destroyed, poor brute.
Oh, why should it be destroyed? The bone's just as healthy as human bone. It only wants attention.
Yes, dear, but you mustn't contradict your father.
No, Mama. Paternity's an unanswerable argument.
Please, take me to see your patients, Florence.
Of course, Elizabeth.
And Sidney, too. He'd be so interested.
Would you?
I'm interested in all your work, Miss Nightingale.
Oh, well, we'll all go tomorrow morning.
Oh, that would be splendid. Flo, dear, what have you done with poor Mr. Tremaine after spoiling his appetite with your patience?
I don't know. Where did he go, Selina?
Oh, he said something about writing letters.
Oh, really, darling? He is your father's guest, you know, and you were supposed to be entertaining him.
I think I was. Very much. He seemed to think it was all rather a joke.
I'm not altogether surprised at that. I think I'd better go and get him a little refreshment.
Well, I think we might all have a little refreshment. It's tea time.
Not for me. I'll stay here, if I may.
Come on, Ben.
I'm in disgrace. May I stay with you, Lord Palmerston?
I'm flattered.
I want to ask your advice.
I'm more than flattered. What about?
Isn't it in any way possible for women to have something useful to do in this world?
Well, they already have a certain part to play in securing the continuity of the race. Whether that's to be considered useful or otherwise depends upon the tastes and views of the inquirer.
But must women be limited to one function?
They have their homes.
Oh, yes, if they want homes. But why should a woman, if she doesn't want to marry, have no choice between becoming a domestic servant and twiddling her fingers in her mother's drawing room?
But there are other things, surely.
Well, she can become a governess, but why shouldn't she make an independent career? Something useful.
Such as what?
Oh, anything. The law, politics, business even. Or in my case, nursing.
Why not?
You honestly don't think it's silly or wrong or unpractical?
I don't know about the law and politics, but I think nursing is a very fine ambition.
Oh!
If. Yes. If it is pursued in a serious manner. Now, let me tell you two things worth remembering, both elementary and therefore both as a rule forgotten. First, if you're to get what you want, you must be prepared to wait for it.
Yes.
Secondly, you must be ready to take your chance when it comes. Now, by ready, I mean equipped. Better leave the opportunity and wait for another if you're not equipped. I waited 20 years at the War Office.
Why?
Because I wasn't trained. I stayed where I was until I had completely mastered not only the arts of parliamentary control, but also the mysteries of departmental government.
Yes.
And then I knew that it was reasonably certain that no government could get on very long without me. Well, that's the position today. Training. It's all training. Now, that's what you ought to do.
I wanted to go into Salisbury Hospital, but they wouldn't let me. You can't be trained for nursing except in hospitals. I do slip off the chain sometimes. In Paris, when we're supposed to be wandering about the Louvre with the catalogue, I'm usually in the clinics of the Sœurs de Charité. And I've had merely a month at Kaiserswerth.
Germany, that place on the Rhine.
Yes. There's an achievement. Wonderful. And it's all grown out of a single hut in a clergyman's back garden into a huge establishment with hundreds of beds, all because the man had faith. Everyone tried to discourage him. I know exactly what they said. It's all been said to me. One lot said, "You're so brilliant. You could be an immense social power if you chose. You're wasting your time." And another said, "You oughtn't to do this. It's not quite nice for a clergyman. Only coarse, common people are carpenters." And another said, "It isn't practical, my dear." But he didn't pay any attention. He just scraped together the money and bought the wood and built the hut and took in a poor wretch who needed treatment. And now, look at the place. All because he had strength and vision.
Well, you have strength.
Do you think that?
What about vision?
10 years ago... No, I think I'd rather not tell you.
Why not?
You might explain it away. Or laugh, perhaps.
Certainly not that.
10 years ago, I was out here on this terrace at night. Quite dark. Suddenly, it looked different. It seemed larger and further away. All the windows were lit up, and there was a confused mob of people at the big doors. They were carrying things into the house, like mattresses, and someone with a lamp was walking among the people. And suddenly, it came upon me that I was the woman with the lamp. And the place was somewhere very far away, a great hospital. And then there was a voice. It rang in my head. It spoke to me. It said, "Be prepared."
Have you told anyone?
I tried to tell Father. Of course, it was impossible. He called in Mama.
Well?
They gave me a dose of castor oil.
Well, it does sound rather like a mixture of indigestion and the Book of Revelation, doesn't it?
You promised not to laugh.
I'm not. I'm trying to conceal from myself how greatly you've impressed me.
What did it mean, Lord Palmerston?
What do you think yourself?
Sometimes I think it was a kind of mirage. Sometimes I think I fell asleep and dreamt it. Then sometimes I wonder if it was a call to do something no one else could do.
That's the thing to believe. Pursue it. But don't forget, no amount of goodwill can make up for lack of knowledge. The opportunity is certainly half the battle, but the ability to take it is the other half.
You're giving me something I've never had before. Encouragement. Oh, it's so lonely and difficult when no one understands.
Go and learn. Go and learn.
I will. I'll be a man and put away childish things.
Good.
Oh, Florence, dear. Don't persecute poor Lord Palmerston with your enthusiasm.
No, Mother.
On the contrary, I've been very much interested.
And amused?
Of course.
Of course. The dear child can be quite entertaining. But now, do come in, Lord Palmerston. We're going to play a round game. Now, come along, both of you.
Life in miniature?
Yes.
Yes, yes, I'll play. I'll play.
I'm right. I'm right. I must be right. And I do see something. A great work, if God gives me strength. fountain. Why are we given conflicting natures? Why can't we all be simple and straightforward like you? You say it is sweet to be loved and sought in marriage, but is the love of men and women to be compared with the service of God? You say that a lover's kiss is the center lock of the universe, the very heart of God himself. Fountain, you have been dallying with the night and listening to her tales of lover's joys.
Miss Florence!
Oh.
Hello. I thought I heard voices.
You heard mine. I was talking to the fountain. Oh. He's an old friend. I tell him all my secrets.
Would he let me tell him mine?
Ask.
Fountain, are you listening?
He is listening.
Fountain, may I come to you for counsel in my difficulty?
He says, speak on.
Fountain, there is a woman, and she is so noble, and her nature is so beautiful that I am almost afraid to approach her.
The fountain says, what do you know of her nature?
Fountain, it shines in her eyes, it glows upon her face, it proclaims itself in every inflection of her voice.
The fountain says that eyes can deceive and faces can lie, and that the tongue of woman is a snare for fools.
The fountain is harsh.
Fountain is wise. Shall we go indoors?
No, not yet. I've been trying all day to be with you alone.
I've been trying to avoid it.
Why?
The instinct of self-preservation, I suppose.
The caveman and his stone axe. Am I like that?
Did I say I was running away from you?
I thought that was implied.
Not by me.
Fountain, you were right about the tongue of woman. It is indeed a snare for fools.
The fountain says the fault was with the woman.
Tell me, O fountain, from whom she fled.
Fountain says she was running away from herself.
Florence.
No.
Florence, I'm in love with
no,
you.
No, please, I didn't mean it in that
Florence,
way.
I want you to marry me. You're not in love with someone else.
No.
Then you will?
I can't.
There's no such word.
You're right. I mean, no.
You do care a little?
You know I do, Henry.
I didn't. I hoped. Oh, my dear, I'm so glad. You'll marry me. You can have everything in the world that you wish.
Except freedom.
Freedom? Freedom for what? You can't be married and free, can you?
Fountain, will men never understand that women can want something more than passion and luxury? That they want the same freedom as men to direct their own lives and use their own brains? That however much they may desire a mate, they can be conscious of a higher purpose than mating?
The fountain says that there is no higher purpose than mating.
Yes, it said the same to me a few minutes ago.
And it said the truth.
I believe there's something enormously greater in life than sex and the satisfaction of desire.
I can only say to you, Florence, that I love you, and my children are calling to you to give them life.
Oh, no, that's unfair. You know how I love children.
I know how I should love yours.
I must forego that to do my work.
If you bring up happy children into fine men and women, aren't you doing a noble thing? Isn't it the noblest work a woman can do? Oh, won't you listen to me? I will devote my whole life to you. I will fill your life with everything that is beautiful and that gives you happiness, because I love you, love you, love you.
No, Henry, no, I won't surrender. It would be like treachery. I have had a call. Don't persuade me against my will.
You love me.
Don't enlist my body against my soul.
You love
yes.
me. Then you will marry me, Florence. Oh. Florence, don't torment me.
It's you who are tormenting me.
I hold you to what you have said. You love me. You will be my wife.
No. I shall never marry. I have faith in my call.
Dearest, your call is only a mocking echo of your imagination. What sign have you of any call?
I don't know.
None. You have no sign. How could there be a sign?
But look, Henry. There is a sign. Henry, don't you see? Look. The people.
There are no people.
There are multitudes of people wrestling with death. And there is a place for me among them. Look, my vision. God, sanctify my hands for this appointed work. Strengthen my spirit to be steadfast in preparing, and firm to reject temptation to stand aside.
Florence.
Take the sacrifice of our love.
Florence, don't say that. Take it back.
That I may be free for this service. And give us friendship, O God. And courage. Both of us.
Amen.
6 years later. We are in a room in Harley Street, the superintendent's office in a nursing home. The ladies' committee is in session.
Bad news again in the Crimea.
So I see in the Times. Poor fellows dying like flies.
It was a great mistake ever to go into Crimea. If Lord Palmerston had been at the Foreign Office...
Yes, well, the question is the appointment of a house surgeon. Miss Nightingale will say something.
Delightful, charming.
Well, I only want to emphasize the great importance of appointing someone who will dispense all our medicines.
Do you mean mix them like a chemist?
Dispense them, yes.
Oh, but... Shall we get a gentleman if he has to do that? I mean, of course, I know we all remember when the doctor used to come to the back door like any other tradesman, but that's a thing of the past, isn't it?
And nowadays there are some quite nice young men taking up medicine. And I mean, it is important to get a gentleman, isn't it?
And wouldn't it be a handicap to us in getting the right sort of... the right sort. If he had to mix up his medicine like a common apothecary, I mean, what?
Quite.
It means a saving of 150 a year on our druggist's bill. And if it doesn't hurt me to empty the slops, it won't hurt the doctor to dispense his own medicines.
But, my dear Miss Nightingale, there isn't the slightest necessity for you to perform these menial duties. No. That's what the nurses are for.
I am a nurse, Mrs. Calder.
Oh, well, yes, in a way, I know.
No, not in a way, in the only proper way. In being able to do any job in the place as well as any of my staff.
Yes, I know.
Aren't we getting rather far from the house surgeon?
What do the Medical Advisory Committee think of Miss Nightingale's proposal?
They've passed it. It's far more their proposal than mine.
Well, if the medical gentlemen think so themselves...
Then may we agree to that? Any objection?
Well,
then that is agreed. Miss Nightingale, will you put it in the proper form in the minute book?
Yes, certainly.
Thank you. Well, now, our last item is not on the paper. It is proposed to allow the Lady Superintendent, Miss Nightingale, £50 a month to be spent on the Institute. It has been sanctioned by the Finance Committee.
Oh, but please, it has not been sanctioned by me. I've ample means of my own to meet any unexpected calls.
But why should you spend your money?
Why should we spend other people's? If there's any money to spend, let us spend it on the wounded soldiers.
Oh, but the government has ample resources.
Oh, yes, but will it use them?
Are you taking sides? With the newspapers?
Certainly not.
Well, I am. Of course, I quite understand, Mrs. Herbert, that with Mr. Herbert's position at the War Office, you are in a difficulty. But it seems to me that this war is being scandalously mismanaged.
That isn't the point, Miss Pelt. The question is whether this Institute ought to subscribe to the relief funds. That is Miss Nightingale's proposal.
Oh, not at all. The committee proposed to spend unnecessary sums on this Institute. I say don't. If there's any money to spend... Let us spend it on the wounded in the Crimea.
Well, I'll make the proposal.
It wouldn't be in order, I'm afraid.
Oh?
I'm afraid it wants notice. The question is that the other proposal be withdrawn. Is that agreed?
Agreed.
Yes? Then that is all for today. Thank you so much, ladies. Well, very good of you to give your time.
Will you sign the minutes, Liz?
Of course. There.
Thank you.
Flo?
Mm-hmm?
How could you take sides against Sydney?
Oh, Liz, dear, do be reasonable. Nobody supposes the muddle in the Crimea is Sydney's fault.
Oh, it's so easy to criticize.
I don't want to criticize. I want to do something.
Flo, darling, what could you do?
Nurse.
The nurses aren't allowed in the army.
Well, Lady Maria Forrester has suggested that I should organize a small party of nurses. She and I would provide the funds.
Oh, Flo, darling, you know your mother's right. You are a bit unpractical.
I didn't bring it up this morning because I wanted to talk to you about it first.
Of course, I know. Flo, darling, it's splendid of you, but you can't just arrive in Scutari with a pair of nurses tucked under your arm. Of course, if you've made up your mind in advance, it's not much good discussing it, dear.
But I wanted so much to know what Mr. Herbert would think.
Sydney?
Yes.
Know what Sydney is. You know how he admires your work. Of course, he'd say yes. I want to say yes too, Flo, but I'm afraid. I don't know why. It's a fine plan. It's worthy of you, and yet I'm afraid. If I didn't love you and believe in you so much, I should tell Sydney not to have anything to do with it.
I wonder why.
If I knew that, I should know what to do.
But you wouldn't let your private feelings stand in the way of...
Oh, yes, I should. I'm not a saint like you. I'm a woman. If I thought it was going to hurt Sydney, I wouldn't care tuppence about other people or causes or obstructions or anything.
Well, that's one comfort. It can't hurt Sydney, my going to the Crimea.
No. I don't know why I feel so uneasy about it. But I do, you know. I do.
Mr. Henry Tremaine, madam.
Thank you. Henry.
Florence.
Come in.
Come.
I am glad to see you. Where have you been?
I've been traveling.
Where?
The desert.
Interesting, but rather solitary, I suppose.
One place is very like another when you're running away from the unattainable.
Henry, you're talking like a lovesick schoolboy, and you must be nearly 40. I'm 34, my friend.
Are you happy?
I'm busy, and that's much better.
Florence, I haven't said a word to you about marriage since that afternoon by the fountain. You asked me to be a friend. And I've tried to be one for nearly 6 years.
You've been very wonderful. Your letters have helped me in every way. But now you're not going to change all that and spoil our friendship.
But I've waited 6 years for your vision, as you call it, to materialize. You don't suggest that this is the great career to which you were called?
I'm trying to arrange to go out to the Crimea.
How?
As a nurse.
There aren't any nurses, Flo.
Well, I should be one.
What? I never heard of a more harebrained idea. But you have no standing. Do you suppose the military authorities are going to have unofficial civilians intruding in their hospitals? They can't. They are under War Office regulation. The thing's absurd.
But we should have letters of introduction to the embassy.
Is it Constantinople? That's not the seat of the war.
But Scutari, where the hospitals are, is a suburb of Constantinople.
But it's under military control. The ambassador has no power there, and even if he had, do you suppose he'd use it?
But he'd have special powers from the government.
But he can't override the military authorities. Florence, I will tell you exactly what he will do. He'll tell his wife to have you to afternoon tea. Everyone will be charming until you try to do something. And then everyone will freeze. Obstacles will spring up all around you, and you'll find yourself faced wherever you look with a blank official wall.
Oh.
No, don't think of it, Florence. You'll only succeed in branding yourself as a crank and a nuisance. The public departments don't encourage amateurs, especially amateurs who want to get things done and know how to do them.
I don't care. I believe as firmly as ever in my call to service.
Well, people who believe the earth is flat and obstinately persist in doing so in spite of all the evidence to the contrary.
Henry, you don't doubt me.
Let me help you.
How?
Choose your site, and I will build and endow a small hospital for you, an English Kaiserwerth, that would realize your dreams. And we'll do it together.
But Henry, you can't do work like mine as a spare time occupation of a married woman.
I sometimes wonder if you have any feelings at all.
Is that quite fair?
No, I don't know what to say. I don't want to overpersuade you, but... Well, don't dismiss my idea offhand. Take a little time to think. Your parents will be happy. You'll be happy. I'll be happy.
What about the wounded in the Crimea? Do you think they'll be happy?
But the government will deal with that. It's their job, not yours.
Everyone says so, but the wounded continue to die of neglect.
Florence, what earthly good do you suppose one woman could do out there in the turmoil of war? It's like trying to cleanse the Augean stable with a feather duster.
Faith can do bigger things than that. I believe that my hour has struck, and that my appointed work is ready.
Well, if you must run your head against a wall, how are you going to begin?
I shall be shown the way.
Oh, well, I must go. Will you think over my hospital scheme?
No, Henry. I'm sorry.
Well, goodbye. I suppose I shall see you for a long time.
Are you going away again?
Yes.
Traveling?
In a sense.
What is it, Henry? You're not... Oh, Henry. Henry, Henry.
Well, I'm glad to see you've persevered in your ambition, Miss Lawrence.
Oh, yes, Lord Palmerston. We work very hard here, don't we, Mr. Herbert?
Liz is never tired of singing your praises.
She makes the work possible. from committees and charitable busybodies. Good Lord, deliver us.
But you don't quarrel with the committees, I hope.
No, I manage them. I mix them together in a committee room with a seasoning of statistics. Stir in a little common sense, simmer for a few hours, and leave it to set in a cool place.
Sounds rather like the cabinet, especially the simmering part. Yes, Herbert, she knows how to get things done.
Have you come to inspect?
No. We want to talk to you.
Have you been following events in the war?
Well, in the newspapers, yes.
Have you read the articles in the Times?
Yes, I suppose they're exaggerated.
Well, I'm not so sure. They must have a foundation.
Then why don't we send nurses out? The French have them. All my old friends, the Sœur de Charité from Paris, have gone out.
That's the point.
Lady Maria Forrester has suggested...
No. Really, I don't think Lady Maria's plan is feasible.
Feasible? Everyone talks about what is feasible, and meanwhile the wounded are dying of exposure.
Wait.
But is the government to do nothing?
By no means. The government has decided this question ought not to be left to private generosity and initiative. It is an innovation in the army, but we intend to organize and send out a corps of nurses to the base hospitals.
Oh, that's a fine decision.
Of course, the difficulties are enormous because everything has to be improvised. We want your help.
Oh, yes, of course. You want me to tell you where to look for the nurses?
No. The standard of general knowledge in the cabinet is admittedly not high. But we flatter ourselves we do know where to look for the nurses. Now, what we don't know is where to find, if you won't help us, a creative, organizing brain that will get results.
We want a woman of great experience, proved character, and the highest attainments to go out with the nurses to the seat of war. Take them out, in fact, and reorganize the whole hospital administration.
Me?
Yes, you. Will you do it?
You're sure, both of you, that you want me to do this? Whatever I may discover, whatever I may advocate, whatever I may demand, am I to have complete control of the nurses?
You will be responsible to the Secretary of State and communicate direct with him. But, of course, Lord Raglan is Commander-in-Chief, and you must work in cooperation with his medical officers.
Naturally, but the nurses?
Completely under your control. And now, may we have our answer?
Very well. I will do what you want.
It is a raw, dismal winter afternoon, the same year, in a room in the barrack hospital, Scutari.
Where's the lady in chief, Mrs. Bracebridge?
Gone down to the purveyor's stores, Dr. Ames. Try and squeeze a few blankets out of him for the extra rush of wounded today.
It's really scandalous. I can't get the simplest medical requisites. You seem to think in England that all you need in a military hospital are packets of Epsom salts. We run out of bandages again. There's no lint, practically no antiseptics. Almost every other case has got gangrene. They've all got dysentery. The thing's chaos. You haven't any dressings, I suppose?
Yes, there's something I can do, thanks to Miss Nightingale over there.
Carbolized lint. Really, Miss Nightingale is a genius. She ought to have a public monument. I mean it, seriously.
The Surgeon General doesn't think so.
The Surgeon General is a buffoon. He doesn't have to work. He only writes tendentious reports and devises preposterous forms to be filled in by overdriven doctors. Thanks. Thanks very much.
Mrs. Bracebridge?
Yes, Mrs. Williams.
270 extra diets of arrowroot ordered. Where's it to come from?
Have you requisitioned?
Here's the reply. Regret no arrowroot available. Signed, the purveyor.
That's because the medical stores are all packed under the shells and cartridges in the transports. And the purveyor can't unpack what's there until he's had to board to sit on it, because he's responsible for the value if he does. And there won't be a board sitting till next week. Oh, dear. Aren't men like children? Doesn't anyone realize there's a war on? All right, Mrs. Williams. I'll deal with it.
Thank you, Mom.
Surely any time will do.
No, Mr. Bamford. We'll settle it now, please.
Goodness, here is the purveyor.
Come in and sit down.
Thank you.
Selina, will you give me the stock accounts showing what I've supplied to the hospital?
This has nothing to do with me, Miss Nightingale.
If you choose to expend private funds instead of coming to my store, you can't expect a refund from the Treasury.
When I suggest a refund, Mr. Bamford, it will be time enough for you to talk about it. Yeah. And as for your store, do you know how much I've had from your store since I came here?
Huh?
Nothing. No, wait. We had 200 hospital gowns last month, Mr. Bamford. And do you know how much I've applied for? Look at that list. Not in store. Not in store. Those are your clerk's initials, aren't they?
Well?
Do you know how many articles are washed in this hospital in the month before my arrival? 6. That's your business, isn't it?
The contractor let me down.
Then you didn't supervise him. I'm using the same contractor.
I've other things to do besides watching washerwomen do their work.
Then it's a pity you don't do some of them. You're supposed to purvey this hospital. Do you know how much I've supplied out of my private funds? Oh. 11,000 shirts. Over 7,000 knives, forks, and spoons. And a couple of thousand Turkish dressing gowns. Look at this full account. Now, look at this. This is your return, dated January the 1st. That's 2 months ago, obtained by me before I sent out and bought the things myself. Tin plates? None. Drinking cups? None. Knives, forks, and spoons? None. Slippers? None. Flannel shirts? None. Socks? Pairs?
You don't make
none.
Allowances for our position. We forget we had a ship sunk in the hurricane.
The Prince was sunk on the 14th of November. That gave you exactly 6 weeks in which to replace the supplies. Or you could have done it locally.
I can't get these things locally.
My good sir, if I can, you can.
They are not the regulation pattern.
I see. So the patients are to tear their food with their fingers and drink out of their hats until you could obtain the regulation issue.
It's not for me to criticize the War Office regulations.
No, but it is for you to interpret them with common sense. Yesterday, Dr. Ames requisitioned for extra fuel. His ward is very exposed. You refused, and I supplied the fuel, yet you had plenty of fuel.
Dr. Ames' ward had the regulation allowance.
But, man, the place was like an ice house. It's barely weatherproof. The patients might have died.
I know it must be very difficult for a lady who is accustomed to ordering what she pleases to realize the necessity for conforming to regulations. But when you're in the army, you have got to understand
don't
that there are
nonsense. Certain
things. What?
I have the strictest regulations for my nurses, but they're drawn and administered with the idea of promoting efficiency and saving human life, not putting a premium on stupidity and death. The army is merely a matter of common sense.
I beg your pardon, madam. The army is nothing of the kind. The army is a matter of strict, unquestioning obedience.
Mr. Bamford, please be reasonable. At this moment, there are 2 ships discharging wounded. I want hospital gowns and blankets for them.
I'm sorry, madam, you can't have them.
There are bales of them in your store.
But I tell you, those haven't been passed, madam. There is no board until next week.
I see your difficulty. And though I think it's ridiculous of you, I wouldn't come to you if I could get them from civilian sources, but I can't. I've tried.
It's a great pity. So, the despised purveyor is of some use after all. Well, they just have to make shift with what they've got, I'm afraid.
No, Mr. Bamford. They will not have to make shift.
What?
I asked you to supply these things. They're absolutely necessary.
I'm sorry, I can't.
I order you to supply these things.
Miss Nightingale, I am not responsible to you or to the army. I'm an official of the Treasury. You know the regulations. Change the regulations and I'll be glad to oblige.
I'm not going to change the regulations. I'm going to change the purveyor.
What?
Unless I receive this requisition in full within an hour, I shall inform the government that I cannot continue to hold my post if you remain in yours.
Well, what could Mr. Herbert do now? He's not in the government.
I shall not write to Mr. Herbert at all. I shall telegraph to Lord Palmerston.
But, madam, you can't do that. I'm a married man. Think of my wife. I'm only doing my duty.
And I'm doing mine, Mr. Bamford. A higher duty than yours, a duty to men in agony. Married men, some of them, too, Mr. Bamford. Think of their wives.
You are asking me to risk dismissal?
I'm asking you to save yourself from dismissal and public ignominy, and I'm giving you an hour to do it in.
Very well. You'd better send someone with me to take delivery.
Certainly, Mr. Bamford, with the greatest of pleasure. Come in, Dr. Cumming.
Thank you.
And you, Mr. Bamford,
thank
please
you.
Sit down. Now, Dr. Cumming, you were saying...
I understand, Miss Nightingale, that you've ordered the purveyor to open a consignment of stores without a board.
Yes, Dr. Cumming, they were necessary for the hospital.
Both as a member of the board and as Inspector General of Hospitals, I protest against your action. You are in charge of the female nursing establishment, and you've taken it upon yourself to supplant the purveyor. I shall report it.
You must do whatever your conscience tells you to be right, Dr. Cumming. But before you send that report, let me advise you to consult the medical officers under you.
What?
You will find that the bulk of their stores and supplies to date would never have been attained at all if I hadn't supplanted the purveyor. They have been provided from my own resources.
I know you mean well, Miss Nightingale, but it is the purveyor's province, not yours, to provide stores and supplies.
I see. So you think it's better for the wounded to die in accordance with regulation rather than be kept alive by proper attention?
No.
Or perhaps you think that, according to regulation, they oughtn't to die, therefore they can't be dead.
I don't think anything of the sort. But I must beg of you to understand...
I'm not going to argue any more. My job, which I was sent out here to do, is to care for the sick and wounded. That doesn't only mean smoothing their pillows and giving them medicine. It means ensuring that there is a proper supply of necessaries and comforts.
Yes.
And I'm going to see that job done efficiently, or know the reason why. Mr. Bamford, have those blankets been delivered?
No, madam.
Then in 15 minutes I send this telegram to Lord Palmerston, and I shall return to England and publish my experiences out here. And if one single head of a department remains in his post, it won't be my fault.
Now, come, Miss Nightingale. Of course one wants to show consideration for a lady.
Don't hide behind my skirts and make a favor of it. I say it must be done. And you know what I shall do if it is not done.
There's no need to be harsh about it, madam.
Harsh?
No. As a matter of fact, the things are on the way.
Indeed. Then you'd better go and hurry them up.
Oh, very well, madam, very well. Excuse me, Dr. Cumming.
Yes,
Miss Nightingale. I don't know what to
do. Dr. Cumming, surely you must see that the necessity of the hospital justifies a breach of regulations.
Well, don't let it happen again.
Oh, but it will happen again, Dr. Cumming. Constantly. Wars have a way of upsetting regulations, you know.
Excuse me, Miss Nightingale. Dr. Sutherland is here.
Oh, Dr. Sutherland? Oh, that's the chairman of the Sanitary Commission. Bring him in, Selina. Please stay here, Dr. Cumming, and meet him.
Very well.
Dr. Sutherland.
Miss Nightingale?
Yes. How do you do?
I'm chairman of yon Sanitary Commission. And I'm thinking to judge by the aroma about this edifice that we have arrived not any too soon.
Dr. Sutherland, may I introduce Dr. Cumming, Inspector General of Hospitals for Scutari.
How do you do?
How do you do? Well, this place is certainly no remarkable for salubriousness. Whatever gauge you take it for a hospital, Dr. Cumming, as a mortuary, I could understand.
It was this place or no place.
Yeah, well, you'd have been better with no place. For then you'd have had to run up marquees and huts just. And they're not so bad. Now, have you seen the plans of this building?
Can't say I have.
Ah, man, you should always take a peek at the architect's plans. Now, from what I can judge by the plans, this place is no that well equipped with the appliances of modern sanitation. Man, I am thinking you'll have to rebuild your whole drainage system.
Have to? Who says so?
I say so. I have plenary powers. Plenary powers for yon Lord Palmerston, you can.
Then will you please go at once through all the wards, Dr. Sutherland? I'll send a sister with you, because I don't want to tell you my opinions until you've formed yours. Or perhaps Dr. Cumming would go with you.
You don't waste much time, Miss Nightingale. I might do that. Would you have the leisure to accompany me, Dr. Cumming?
I'll go if you wish. But it's preposterous to talk about rebuilding. This building is perfectly all right as it is.
Well, it's myself that has to judge that. I'll just take a look and see. I'll be back in half an hour or so, Miss Nightingale.
Thank you, Dr. Sutherland.
Now, I would like, first of all...
I really haven't the time to do this.
Florence?
Yes?
Florence, what food have you had today?
Breakfast.
I know, one egg and a piece of bread and butter.
Well, there's no time. There's the mail to be written yet.
I made you some tea and got some biscuits, and you've got to eat it up.
Oh.
You're killing yourself. I don't believe you've had a proper meal since we arrived.
Don't lecture me.
You'll only make yourself ill.
Don't croak, Selina. What about the arrangements for the cholera patients? Plenty of hot water for stooping and extra blankets.
Yes, I've seen to that. Now, here's your tea. Drink it up like a lamb.
Excuse me, madam.
Yes, what is it, Corporal?
The last batch of wounded have been carried up from the boats now, madam.
Thank you. They're late. It'll be dark before they arrive. Are the nurses standing by in the ward, Selina?
Yes.
Hot drinks all ready?
All ready.
Right. I'll come to the door and watch them brought in.
Oh, don't go, Florence. You're dead tired.
Not as tired as they are. Can't disappoint the men, Selina.
They're just coming into the gates now, madam. One of the men's been asking for you.
Right, I'll be there.
Drink this tea up before they come.
No, can't worry about it now. I must see these poor fellows brought in.
Just a sip.
Oh, very well. You've put brandy in this, Selina.
Well, you need it.
The brandy is for the sick, not the able. It's far too precious to be wasted. You drink it up yourself. You're tired, too.
I'm all right.
Do as you're told, Selina.
Very well. Poor fellows.
What a state they're in. They're all in rags. Make a note of extra clothing, Selina.
Yes.
They're bringing up that man now, madam.
Frostbitten, every one of them. It's going to be a nightmare. No, wait, stop. Is that the man?
Yes, madam.
Bring him in here.
Very good, madam.
Is that you, Florence?
Henry. Oh, Henry, why did you do this?
I thought if you could, I could.
My dear, they've wounded you.
They've done for me. Oh, Flo, I only managed to hold out of that ghastly ship to see you for a few minutes. God, Florence, do something to improve those ships. You can't imagine the horror of them, the filth there, the old vermin escaped with blood. Filthy.
Yes, I know it's bad, but we're getting it right little by little. Now, you must let me look at your wounds. It's
not worthwhile. Oh, that awful journey from the boats. I'm finished.
Not yet, Henry. Now, let me look. Oh. I won't hurt you. Doctor, Selina, quick, get Dr. Ames.
Yes, sir.
I won't rebandage you, Henry, until the doctor comes.
Oh, Florence, I didn't come here to be patched up. Just to see you and say goodbye.
My dear, you mustn't give in.
Strength going. I feel it. Do you remember the fountains, Florence?
My dear, don't.
The lights.
Don't.
The window.
Hush. Hush. You must be quiet.
May I ask a question?
The fountain says, ask on. Oh, but, oh, my dear, don't tire yourself.
Fountain, did she truly love me?
The fountain says, she will love you. And long for you to the end of her wretched life.
Yes. That's all I want to know.
Florence?
Yes. Is the doctor coming, Selina?
I told you.
Good. The doctor will be here in a minute, Henry. Now I must enter you in the hospital register. What are you, an officer?
How can I be an officer, Flo? I enlisted.
What unit?
Rifle Brigade.
In your own name, Henry?
Why not? Nothing to be ashamed of, is it?
Oh, my dear, don't talk like that. There. Now you're ticketed and docketed, and you'll be in my own special ward.
Florence, I believe I'm going to get better. I feel suddenly much stronger.
Yes, dear, but not if you talk. Selina.
Yes.
Get that new man, Dr. Sutherland. He's in the hospital somewhere. He's got nothing special to do. Find him, for God's sake.
Yes, yes.
Very dark.
Very dark, my dear. But we'll soon have a light for you.
Yes, light. Light and our darkness, we beseech thee, O Lord.
And by thy great mercy, defend him from all perils and dangers of this night.
Yes.
Oh, God. Don't take him away.
France, is that you? Oh, where am I?
All right. You're with me.
It's darker.
Do you want the chaplain?
I'm all right. God bless you. Flo.
Henry.
speak to me, for God's sake. My work, I've got to do my work. We've all got to die. It's only a change of the tissues. You can't destroy the soul. You... Oh. No, no, no. Goodbye, my love. My dear, dear love. Goodbye.
It is 1861, 7 years later, years of unceasing labor. We are in a room in Old Burlington Street, London. Florence is in consultation with Dr. Sutherland.
Complete, Dr. Sutherland. Unanswerable. It only remains for Sydney to give it his authority, and the thing is done. What is it, Scotty? Well, you're not suggesting Sydney Herbert will fail us.
No, just that. But he's weakening. Physically, I mean. He is a sick man. But he doesn't go into the House of Peers at his time of life without he's got a reason.
He's gone into the Lord simply in order to remain Secretary of State for War and so see this through. I persuaded him, although his wife wanted him to retire, in 6 months...
There are many things that can happen in 6 months.
Very well. Sufficient unto the day.
Excuse me, madam. Lady Herbert of Lee to see you, madam.
Lady Herbert?
Yes, madam.
Well, you mean Lord Herbert, don't you?
No, madam. Her ladyship.
Well, show her in, of course.
Very good, madam.
What's this, Scotty? Elizabeth hasn't been to see me for months. She thinks I've too much influence. Is she trying to interfere, do you suppose?
Oh.
She'd better not.
I wouldn't trouble your head with supposings. The woman has likely come in friendship. You were friends.
I wonder. Someone nearly wrecked my whole work in the war by sending out a second contingent of nurses within a fortnight after my arrival, ordered to report not to me, but to Cunning, my principal stumbling block.
Oh.
I've often wondered if that little slip were inspired by an adversary.
I wouldn't trouble your mind with such blethers. The man has worked for you nearly as hard as I have myself.
Oh, he's all right, Scotty, as long as I have him under my eye. But he's weak. Susceptible to influences. I don't know. I'm not easy.
Lady Herbert of Lee, madam.
Elizabeth.
Hello, darling.
Well, Elizabeth, how are you?
Rather bored, don't you know? Rather bored with the season and all that. But very glad to see you, dear.
You know Dr. Sutherland, I think.
Oh, yes. Dr. Sutherland, of course. How do you do?
Madam.
I'm just off to Spa. You know Spa in Germany?
Yes, I know Spa.
Yes. I've persuaded Sydney to go with me.
When?
Well, in a few days.
Did he send you to tell me this?
What do you mean, you, Florence?
For God's sakes, I have no finished your draft for this afternoon. You'll excuse me. I'll not be long. Excuse me.
Well, that's better. We can talk frankly.
I always talk frankly. You haven't answered my question.
Sydney is under doctor's orders.
Oh, doctor's orders.
He has resigned from the cabinet.
And he left you to tell me this?
I think you forget I'm his wife.
When did this happen? He was due here this morning. Do you see that pile of patent books? That's the work we've done to prepare him. The reform of the army is all credited to him. It has all been done here, anonymously, willingly, gladly. One more effort, only one, was needed for complete victory. And he got arrested then. And you talk to me of doctor's orders.
Wait.
I've been under doctor's orders for 7 years. I've been given up as dead and bedded by doctor's orders. I've been told even by old Sutherland that the work would kill me. But I've stayed at my post, and I'm a woman. And you tell me the leader we've been proud to serve is giving up within sight of the winning post, like a cowardly schoolboy who hasn't the heart to finish his race.
You have no right to say that. He's compelled to give up. It's killing him.
Suppose it did kill him, or me, or you, or any of us. What does that matter compared to the results? Isn't it better to die gaining a great cause than to jeopardize it by shrinking ignominiously on the plea of sickness? Who's going to take up the fight now? You know what men are.
I know what women are and the lengths to which they'll go. What
What's all this about fighting? What are you fighting for?
I'm fighting the battle of the men who died in my arms in the war.
The war. You think you're fighting for that, but you're not. You are fighting for your own vanity. The vanity that wants to sacrifice my husband. The vanity that sent Henry Tremaine to his death.
What do you know about Henry Tremaine?
Well, wasn't he one of those who died in your arms?
Did Sidney tell you that? I might have remembered that nothing is too sacred to be blurted out in wedlock. I forgot about Samson and Delilah.
How dare you? How dare you? I'm sorry, though. I beg your pardon. I oughtn't to have said what I did.
I don't blame you, Elizabeth. But Sidney's desertion. That's a tragedy. Do you realize that in the army they shoot a man if he runs away from his post in battle? He can't say, I'm sorry, I'm not feeling quite myself today. He's taken out in the cold dawn and shot beside his own grave. And the Secretary of State ratifies the execution.
It's absurd to talk like that.
Is it? Why?
Florence, it is time someone told you the truth. You have a lust for power. If things don't go just your way, you make a grievance of it. It isn't reasonable. Let Sidney get his health back, and perhaps later on he'll be able to pick up the threads again.
You persuaded him to do this?
Yes. Yes, I did.
I've always suspected that you were opposed to our working together. Ever since that day at Harley Street when you tried to prevent me going to the Crimea.
I didn't want you to go to the Crimea. I was afraid. I have always been afraid of you, Florence. Afraid of your intimacy with Sidney.
What do you mean?
Oh, not that. You know I don't. When we first met, I wondered. But I soon saw there was nothing physical. I almost wish there had been. At least it would be human and more understandable. And it wouldn't have brought Sidney to his deathbed like this terrible slave will of yours. Besides, I could have held my own against you and won him back at that.
Liz, dear, I'm really very, very sorry for you. It must be awful to be able to be unable to dissociate men from Seraglio.
That's hateful of you.
I don't mean it to be. I mean, I'm honestly sorry. I've never been afraid of death, and I suppose I can't understand other people considering it, but my work is far too valuable to be entrusted to a hypochondriac.
Excuse me, madam.
Yes?
Lord Herbert of Lee.
Oh.
Florence. Hello, Liz.
Herbert, dear.
Well, Sidney, so you're going to Spa. So sorry about your health, and I'm sure it is quite the best thing for you to do.
Is that what you think?
That is what I think. Has Lord Palmerston appointed a successor yet?
How do you know I'm to have a successor?
I told her, Sidney.
Oh.
I hoped I should have heard it from you personally, but I didn't. Who is it to be?
Sir George Lewis, I believe.
Charming. He writes exquisite Latin epigrams and knows nothing whatsoever about sanitation. Our work will go on famously.
You don't seem to mind much.
Who am I to mind? Either much or little.
Florence is so good about it, Sidney.
I am a deserter, Florence.
Well, I'm going to leave you to talk together.
You needn't, Liz. There's nothing.
Oh, but I'd like to. I know you won't encourage him in any foolishness. Goodbye, my dear. I let myself out.
Goodbye.
She's right, Florence. Work of any sort is foolishness now. I couldn't do it.
You don't feel up to it, I suppose?
No, it's not that. It's lack of capacity. Something has broken. I shall never come back, Florence. Liz doesn't know. Don't tell her.
What's this, Sidney?
I shall be dead in a month.
Is that doctor's orders, too? Oh, cheer up, Sidney. They've said the same to me for years, but I managed to jog along.
I really tried, Florence. But I collapsed this morning. I fainted going upstairs.
I know. I've done the same.
Well, I'd better go, I suppose. Goodbye.
I've never known a bitterer moment than this in my life. Before Harry was killed, I thought at least there was my work to live for. Now my work is killed, too.
Our joint work.
I'm not going to give in. I shall go on alone. Goodbye, Sydney. Please, God, you'll get your health back again, my dear. Thank you a thousand times for all you've done for us. God bless you. God bless us both.
Amen.
August, the same year.
And Papa is going over to Lord Palmerston at Broadlands for the shooting. Are you coming down to Embley too, my love?
I hope so, Mama dear.
Oh, well, now, won't that be nice? And the Sydney Herberts, perhaps they might come over. Have they written lately?
A fortnight ago, quite a cheerful letter from Spa.
Oh, well, now, isn't that nice? Most delightful man, and his dear little wife, too. Oh, yes, she's been such a good friend to you, my love. Did you know that all those extra nurses they hurried out after you to that dreadful Crimea were entirely her idea? Just to make things easier for you. Now, wasn't that nice of her?
Yes, wasn't it? I never knew for certain before, but I always suspected it.
I've always felt, Flo, that your real friends have been people outside the family, and I'm sometimes very sad and ashamed to think about it. It makes a mother feel so foolish when her daughter is decorated and publicly commended by the Queen for doing the very things that if the poor woman had had her way would never have been attempted at all. And really, of course, it's almost a contradiction of the Bible and everything one was brought up to believe when one finds that parents aren't infallible. Oh, there now, it's nearly 11:30. I've kept you from your work a whole hour.
Well, perhaps I ought to begin to get ready for Dr. Sutherland now. Would you like the carriage in 30 minutes' time?
Well, now, wouldn't that be nice? Yes, my love, yes. I'll go and get ready. Thank you.
Goodbye, Mama.
Goodbye, dear.
So she did send out those nurses after all. She's been my enemy all along. And now she's taken Sydney away to become a hypochondriac. And she thinks she's won. And the work may go to the devil.
Excuse me, madam. There's a gentleman called. Lord Palmerston, madam.
Bring him at once.
Yes, madam. Lord Palmerston, madam.
Lord Palmerston, this is more than kind. Pray, come in.
Thank you.
I half hoped when I wrote that you would let me come to see you. It never entered my mind that you would come here.
Well, mind, I must warn you in advance that I can't promise more than sympathetic interest.
More and more I realize what we lost when Sydney Herbert resigned.
Yes, poor Herbert. I think he feels it very deeply. And I think he feels it mostly on your account.
You valued him very much.
More than anyone.
And I suppose you blame me for his breakdown?
Just a little.
You don't think much of women in public life.
Oh, I don't know. I shouldn't be in the least surprised to find a woman in the cabinet, say, in 50 or 60 years' time. Luckily, I shall be comfortably underground.
I think women ought to have votes, you know.
If I were convinced that men ought to have them, I would perhaps be prepared to consider the case of women. Your sex will get the vote, my dear. And into Parliament and into the cabinet and into heaven if they aren't careful.
Lord Palmerston.
Yes?
When Sydney gets better, is it impossible for him to go back to the War Office?
But his health wouldn't allow it.
I've had quite encouraging letters.
What do you suppose his wife would say?
But it matters so enormously to the future.
You know, Miss Florence, I often ask myself whether our actions matter nearly as much to posterity as it flatters us to believe they do.
Your new liberal creed. Laissez-faire. Squalor. Confusion. Chaos.
Leave it to stew and the people to stew in it, because we're too lazy to work out new systems.
My dear, I'm much too old to be evangelized. I'm willing to help in what you call your work because I happen to like you. But I'm not willing to abdicate my common sense and knowledge of human beings. Officials will always be stupid. The War Office will always mismanage wars, and the country will win them in spite of it. You're fighting human nature.
I don't believe that. I believe there's such a thing as working for the sake of the work.
Yes, not in Whitehall. But go on thinking so, if it comforts you.
I believe you're deliberately trying to discourage me.
Perhaps I want to save you from disappointment.
I'd give anything to have Sidney back here again. He wasn't afraid of disappointments. He would have shared them.
Oh, yes.
Well, Lord Palmerston, as you are here, perhaps I could just outline some of my plans for the future.
Yes?
It would at least be doing something.
Elizabeth, you were in Germany.
You came back. Lawrence, I had to come to you. Sidney's dead. I can't believe it.
Oh, my dear. My dear.
Oh, there. He spoke of you in his last words. Not me. Of you. And your unfinished work.
He was our leader and our dear master. Now that we know the greatness of our loss, we shall never see him again.
Summer 1886, 25 years later. A room at number 10 South Street, Park Lane. Florence is tucked up in bed with a broad table of writing materials at her elbow.
Well, nurse? Well, why should I break my rule for him? No, certainly not. Not without an appointment.
It's Mr. Gladstone himself, Miss Nightingale. He's down there waiting.
Not without an appointment. Perhaps Dr. Sutherland will see him later.
Is he to be told?
Well, Dr. Gladstone's a gifted man, but I don't think even his own party credit him with the power of divination.
No, Miss Nightingale.
Go and put poor Mr. Gladstone out of his misery.
Yes, Miss Nightingale.
Will I come in?
Scotty. Yes, come in. If you're not afraid to see an untidy old woman in bed.
Not up today. What ails you?
Can't waste what little nervous energy I still possess on the meaningless fatigue of dressing up.
Little nervous energy? I'll do fine on one quarter of yours. It's physical strength you lack.
Croak, croak, croak. You ought to be singing poems of joy. Do you know what day it is today?
Yeah.
It's August the 2nd. The 25th anniversary of Sidney's death.
I see nothing whatever to be singing a poem of joy for in that.
But isn't it something to sing for, that after 25 years, by sticking and sticking to our ground and never admitting defeat, we've done his work at last and won his battle?
Aye.
Do you know who's coming to see me today?
Aye, Mr. Gladstone. I saw him as I passed in.
I'm not seeing him. No. No, it's Elizabeth Herbert. For the first time since Sidney's death.
And what will you be saying to Lady Herbert?
I don't know. We've written to each other once a year. On this day, ever since she died. But we've never met.
Then you'll be enjoying a bonny afternoon, I'm thinking. Ah, well, maybe I'll no be telling you just now.
Telling me what? Come on, Out with it. What is it?
I'm resigning my post in the government.
I thought it was early to be rejoicing about our work. So you're going to desert and leave it all to be undone.
Oh, woman, woman, what good will it do if I kill myself in harness? Do you not realize I'm 18 more years of age? It'll be far better with a younger man. I thought it would be exactly as you would wish.
Exactly what I would wish. To be deprived of the only person whose opinion I care tuppence about. That's the cursed thing about working with people. They make themselves indispensable and then desert you, or else they die.
Maybe they must do the former in order to avoid the latter. And my work is no longer what it used to be. Oh, lassie, lassie, I'm gay vexed to believe in you. But in this world, the one thing certain is that the hour of curtain will strike at last. And the hour of John Sutherland, M.D., has struck.
Oh, Scotty. Scotty, Scotty. What am I to do without you? Won't you come and see me?
Aye. And while my strength holds, I'll do what I can with your personal correspondence and the preparation of drafts. But responsible public office and me must be parted.
Lady Herbert of Lee has arrived, Miss Nightingale.
Thank you. Bring Lady Herbert.
Yes, Miss Nightingale.
Old friend, will you come back here and discuss this further with me at 6?
I will come back at 6 or at midnight, or at any time that will suit the convenience of my dearest friend in the world. And I will go on till my poor old head drops off, if it will in any way please her. Au revoir.
Au revoir.
Lady Herbert of Lee.
Thank you.
Well, Lawrence, I don't know why I've come. I didn't mean to.
Why not, Liz?
It is better to bury the past completely.
Liz, won't it gladden you to hear that Sidney's work has been accomplished at last?
Frankly, not in the least. I did what I could when Sidney was alive to help him. I did it because I loved him, not because I loved what he was doing. If he'd been a farmer, I should have ploughed the land beside him with the same delight and pride. But after his death, I would never have gone near the farm again. I should have hated the place, especially if it had killed him.
Does that mean that you hate me, Liz?
You are not a place, Florence. In my religion, one is not allowed to hate people. One is taught to pray for them.
Am I to ascribe my good health to your intercessions, Liz?
I thought I taught myself to forget Sidney. The pain of separation, I mean. One can do remarkable things by concentrating the mind on religious meditation. But I haven't forgotten. And I shall never forget.
Wouldn't it have been easier for you not to forget but to remember happily if you'd carried on his work with us?
Oh, work is your panacea for everything.
And yours is meditation.
Yes.
But meditation stands still. Work takes you on, exulting in the final triumph of the deed. And when that has been reached, you can sing as I do, the Nunc Dimittis.
Yes. Don't forget, though, that the Lord has a way of choosing his own time for letting his servants depart in peace.
Do you mean one might live on and on, unable to work and unable to die? That might be my punishment?
Yes, Florence, it might. Or rather your purgatory, which we must all endure. Which we must all endure.
21 years later, 1907. The drawing room at South Street is rapidly filling for an investiture. Miss Nightingale, now aged 88, is to be given the Order of Merit.
All ready? Nearly. Here's the Secretary of State arriving now. We must wait a minute for the Lord Mayor.
President of the American Red Cross, Lady Herbert Lee, the Right Honourable the Lord Mayor of London.
My Lord Mayor. Good to see you.
Are we ready now?
Yes, in just a moment. Now, let me see the order of the proceedings. Yeah, the Secretary of State to speak first. Then the President of the American Red Cross. Then you, my Lord Mayor. No other speeches and everything quite short because Miss Nightingale is not strong enough for anything protracted. Then the Court Chamberlain makes the investiture on behalf of His Majesty. Then the Sheriffs bring forward the roll of freemen for Miss Nightingale to sign. And that is all. Is that quite satisfactory?
Oh, yes, yes, that will do. Well, hadn't we better begin? I'm meeting at the Mansion House at 5:30, an official dinner afterwards. Yeah. Where are my notes? Yes. That place, Scutari, I think it's called. Was that where the hospitals were?
I don't know, I'm afraid. Will you take your place now?
Yes, certainly.
Miss Florence Nightingale.
Most kind. Most kind. Thank you, nurse. This will do nicely. Thank you.
My lord mayor, ladies and gentlemen, pray silence for the Secretary of State.
We are met today to witness the recognition of services to this country and to humanity in general, begun when our fathers were young men, and continued without intermission almost to the present day. The distinguished lady whom we are here to honor may justly claim to be the founder of modern nursing. And the great and increasingly beneficial work done by the hospitals for sick humanity, not in this land alone, but in all civilized lands, is the fruit of her hospital reform. In the darkest days of the Crimean War, when wounds and sickness had decimated the British army, this devoted heroine moved like a ministering angel among our soldiers. As a poet has said, "Lo, in that hour of misery, a lady with a lamp I see pass through the glimmering gloom and flit from room to room. And slow, as in a dream of bliss, the speechless sufferer turns to kiss her shadow as it falls upon the darkening walls." Such services are worthy of notable recognition. His Majesty has been pleased to direct that they should be notably recognized. The Order of Merit, of which Miss Nightingale is the first woman member, numbers upon its roll many noble servants of the country. None, however, has a better title to that most illustrious distinction than this latest member, whose admission we are privileged to attend.
The President of the American Red Cross.
My lords, my Lord Mayor, ladies and gentlemen, in the United States of America, the name of Florence Nightingale, this great pioneer of healing, is revered with a love that is peculiarly personal and tender. There is no monument of stone to her, and we cannot confer a decoration. We have no such things. But there are 1,000 nurse training schools in America founded in her name. Those are her monument, an ever-increasing monument. Those are her medals from the United States.
The Right Honorable the Lord Mayor of London.
I had intended to make some remarks about Scutari, where the hospitals were, and about the Crimean War. But I feel that this is rather superfluous. We all know Miss Nightingale's noble deeds. And it gives me... it is a great privilege to say that the Common Council of the City of London desire to confer on this most excellent lady the freedom of the City of London, which we beg her to accept.
Miss Florence Nightingale, I am commanded by His Majesty the King to convey to you the insignia of the Order of Merit, which His Majesty has been graciously pleased to confer upon you in recognition of your invaluable services to the country and to humanity.
Most kind, most kind. What is it, nurse, dear? We must be thanked.
It's from the king, darling. Put it over your shoulders.
Certainly, certainly. How very, very kind. Why are they doing that?
It's the Crimea, darling.
Oh, yes. Yes. The Crimea.
Florence. Florence.
Who is that?
One who loves you.
There is no one who loves me. Now.
There are myriads who love you. And bless your name for what you have done for them. Here is one who loves you for yourself.
There was once a man who loved me for myself. But I sent him to death.
Is death so terrible that he should bear malice on that account?
He would not bear malice. Natures like his are above malice. He might have ceased to care.
What if that were beyond his power?
What am I to you? I am an old, old woman, about to die.
There are no such things as years. Age does not exist.
But death? You were killed a lifetime ago. What has happened? Is it a dream? Is it a dream?
Everything is a dream. Except God. Except God.
Thank you.
The Lady with a Lamp, the play by Reginald Barclay, was adapted for radio by Peter Watts, with Nicolette Bernard as Florence Nightingale. The part of Henry Tremaine was played by John Bentley. Lord Palmerston by Carlton Hobbs. Elizabeth Herbert by Marjorie Westbury. Mrs. Nightingale by Vivienne Chatterton. Sidney Herbert by Sean Barrett. Mr. Nightingale and Dr. Ames by Geoffrey Wincott. Dr. Sutherland, Henry Stamper. Dr. Cumming and the Secretary of State by Stephen Jack. And other parts were played by Joe Manning Wilson, Margaret Wolfitt, and Margot Boyd. The announcer was Robin Holmes, and the play was produced by David Davis.